ladies, for that good song. We're in the book of 2 Timothy this morning. You find the fourth chapter there, 2 Timothy and chapter 4. And we're going to be looking, I'm going to read the first and second verse for us. We'll read it together in a moment here. And we're going to be in verse number 1, pretty much the entire message. But keep your Bible open. If you have access to a pen or a pencil, you might want to circle some words and mark some things in your scripture this morning. And it's not, you don't desecrate the Bible by marking it. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's good to mark your Bible and helps you next time you go through that place to remember some things, all right? And as I mentioned, this will be a little bit more theological in nature today, maybe than normal on a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, but we will get into what the Word of God has to teach us, all right? Let's pray. Let's stand together in honor of God's Word, and let's read here verses 1 and 2. I'll read verse 1, and would you please join me on verse number 2? This is 2 Timothy chapter 4. And our Bible says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Our Father, please help us now. I pray that we would come with a ready mind and a listening heart to receive what You have for us. May the Holy Spirit of God have liberty in this service and bring with Him that spirit of liberty for all of us to enjoy the Bible. May we be helped today. I pray, Lord, for the heart that needs it most and for all of us. Help us. In Christ's name I ask it, for His sake. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Wandering aimlessly, thirsting endlessly, all I found was bitter water from an earthly stream. How my soul did cry, how I feared to die, everlasting life was just a dream. Water from the rock is what I needed, water from which no one is denied. And when I came to Christ for my salvation, I found Jesus was the rock that satisfied.
In this wilderness, this dark wilderness, He was smitten with a rod from His Father's hand. All my sins He bore as He suffered more than this human mind could understand.
Water from the rock is what I needed, water from which no one is denied. And when I came to Christ for my salvation, I found Jesus was the rock that satisfied. If you're looking for life with something more, there's refreshing water flowing now from Calvary. Leave your past behind, climb God's hill and find heaven's answer for your soul's deep need. Water from the rock is what I needed, water from which no one is denied. And when I came to Christ for my salvation, I found Jesus was the rock that satisfied. I found Jesus was the rock that satisfied.
This morning. Man, all right. Kyla Montgomery, good to see you home. Amen. I just finished up her first year of teaching out in Burlington, Iowa, and home for the summer, right? So it's good. This time of year is great. A lot of our young people who go on to college come back home and get to be here at the church services on weekends, and it is a blessing to have them home for the summer. Amen. And then the fall is terrible because they leave again and more with them, all right? So that means you got to keep having babies, ladies, all right? So keep the line going here, all right? It's been a pretty good year so far. Brother Larry, how far is Esther? 34 weeks now, right? 34 weeks. That is a blessing, a victory, and praise the Lord for that. All right. You ever heard the expression, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater? That's the title of my message this morning, all right? Or don't overlook the truth. Don't overlook the truth. And I want to speak about what's been on on the nation's mind the last few days because of all this. I was up in Canada, saw billboards. May 21st, Judgment Day. The end is coming. In Canada. I don't know how much money was spent in this thing. But I want to talk to you this morning from this scripture about this matter. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are glad for the truth. Help us to receive it. And I pray that it will make us a better person. It needs to change some of us. And the truth might need to convict some of their need for salvation before it is eternally too late. So help me today. Empower to preach your word, I ask in Christ's name. And amen. I was in New Orleans area Monday and Tuesday at a meeting, preaching for a church there in Marrero. And went to the air. The flight left at 6:25. I was at the airport at 5 a.m. in New Orleans, and I went through security and picked up a copy of the USA Today and was looking at it before I boarded the plane, and was amazed to see a full page ad predicting that the world would end yesterday. And USA, and I don't know how much money that is, but it's probably a little bit more than Kankakee Journal, I would think, all right? So a full-page ad. You're probably talking thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to put an ad like that in the USA Today with their circulation. Full-page ad, paid for by that group who was convinced, I suppose, that Jesus was coming yesterday, the tremendous earthquake, so forth and so on. Now, much was said before yesterday. In fact, I heard from many of you throughout the week as we were together more often because of awards banquet and graduation. We were together a lot this week. I heard from many of you that people were talking where you work. I heard from two men at least, and maybe a third in this room, who at work people brought this matter up and were talking about it. I know one of our ladies went to the a hairdresser or whatever you call them, barber, lady barber or something. And Brother Ron, you never did that though, did you? No, okay, no. But the hairdresser brought it up to this lady in our church. And some more people came in, and she kind of left the topic. And when the people left, she went back to it and brought it up again, all right? Now, in the balcony, young ladies, are y'all listening up there? Y'all been talking a lot all morning. Look down here. It's really not healthy to be sitting up there if you're by yourself. So look down here and listen this morning. I want you, not because I'm important, but this book is important right here, okay? Very, very important. Now, so much was said about it. Maybe some people where you work were talking about it, friends or family members. Jesus is coming. What do you think about this? So through all of this, it did get people's attention. That's not bad. Not bad. Now, what is bad is that some people mocked and some people even planned parties to celebrate the end of the world and celebrate the coming of Jesus and those, and to celebrate being left behind. Celebrate. I read about one up in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where a good friend of mine, John Melly, pastors a church, and John sent me an email, said they're planning a big bash up here, and even in the talk about it say that come prepared to blaspheme the Holy Spirit if you come to this party. Yeah, right there. So, you know, I mean, it's just some bad stuff. Now, so it's just some crazy stuff. But listen, you and I know from Scripture that there will be an end. So you can't say, well, these folks were wrong, so I mean, I guess the whole idea is just crazy. No, the whole idea is right. Okay? So you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You can't overlook the obvious truth. Now, people may look at this group of folks like they, you know, weirdos and off the wall. And come on, they put themselves in that position. They put them, when you are so adamant about something that doesn't happen, that the Bible says you can't be adamant about. It makes you look very silly, very foolish. And so that's what happened. But you can't go to the other end of the spectrum like 2 Peter 3 says will happen. 2 Peter 3 says that there will be some people at the end of the world, you know, they'll mock it. Yeah, you folks have talked about Jesus coming forever. Look it. He put big billboards up, took out ads in newspapers, and made a big to-do, but he still didn't come. So the Bible says that's going to happen. All right? So we don't want to throw the truth. We don't want to overlook that. There will be an end, and that end will happen in God's time. Now, listen, it is interesting to me that, according to people that were talking to me this week, these folks at work and so forth, an unsettling feeling gripped people as they thought about the end. I read an op-ed piece in one newspaper, I forget which one it was, and the guy was obviously making fun of the fact that he planned something for 6:10 on Saturday night to celebrate. He was making fun. But he admitted in the article. that the thought of the end of the world did cause him a little anxiety. And if the truth be known, honest people would admit that. Now, I believe the unsettling feeling results from the fear of what happens after this. You see, Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment." I've contended for years that people really don't fear death, because we all come into this world and we understand before too long that we're going to leave it. Okay? I don't know anybody 110 years of age. Maybe you do. I don't know anybody 120. So we all come into this world knowing that we're going to leave it. It's those words, it's these three words, "but after this." That's what shakes people up. "But after this." That creates an uneasiness. Now this morning, I am not going to prove to you when Jesus is coming. I'm not going to give you a date. But I'm going to tell you that He is coming. And that is fact, and I want to show you the answer to what will happen after this. After it's all ended. Now, Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and in verse number 1, he leaves his follower, Timothy, with some mandates concerning Bible preaching. But before he gets into these mandates about Bible preaching, he charges Timothy to realize that as a preacher of the gospel, Timothy, you're going to give an account to God and Jesus Christ. Now, I want to break down this verse for you in verse number 1 here, and I got three truths to show you from this verse, then we'll wrap it up and head to the house. I want you to see, first of all will be judged. All will be judged. Look what he said in verse number 1 there. "And I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge?" Okay? All will be judged. Paul says that both God and Jesus Christ will act as judge in the future. Now, for right now, I want you to forget about the when and the how and understand that every person in the entire world, through years and years of human history, will stand at a judgment. Every one of us will stand at a judgment. All of us will stand. Not the same judgment, but all of us will stand at a judgment. But for now, we got to get it down. Not the same judgment, but I want you to understand for now that we all will appear at a judgment. Listen, people, the idea that we die and that's the end of the story, there's no accountability, there's no higher authority that will judge us and judge our days, and let's just eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die, that kind of mentality is fantasy island. That's nonsense. That doesn't even... Come on. You get judged at school. You get judged at work. Yes. We're judged. If we can't live our lives in this country as we please without accountability to a court of law. Come on. Now, if in this life, this temporal life, we're judged. We're judged at school. We're judged at work. If we're judged by a court of law, what in the world kind of idea is it that we just die and that's it? That's not scriptural. So you need to get that out of your head right now. We will not live our days on earth with no accountability. The highest authority that is will act as our judge someday. God and the Lord Jesus Christ will act as our judge. That's everybody. We will all stand at a judgment. Now, I don't know about you, but the appearing in court is not a pleasant matter. That little booklet that we're using now for the surveys, "Can a Person Be Certain of Heaven?" It deals with that in there. It has a picture of a bench in a courtroom. And the idea of standing before a judge gives everybody a little bit of anxiety and a cause for uneasiness. Now, I'm not proud of this, but I wasn't saved until I was 18. And before I got saved, I was stupid and dumb and lost. And myself and me and Roy Wood got in trouble one time, and we had to go and stand before a judge. Had to go into a courtroom and stand. I want to tell you something. You know, you can be pretty cocky and full of yourself till you get to that courtroom. That old boy walks out with that black robe on. sits down behind that bench and all the protocol of a courtroom, and you know that you're going to be called to stand before him, I'm going to tell you something. You get pretty serious pretty quick. And I'm not proud of that. Thank God it only happened once. But it did happen. Now, hopefully you haven't had that unpleasant experience to stand before a bar of judgment in this life. But I'm going to tell you something. Are you listening? We all will stand before a judgment eventually. Everybody. Who will judge? So God and Jesus Christ are going to act as judges someday, according to what Paul told Timothy. All will be judged. All of us will stand before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, number two, from the same scripture here, all are divided into two groups. All are divided into two groups. Look at verse number one. Who shall judge the quick and the dead? Do you see that? Two groups. God didn't say three, four, eight, a dozen. He said two. God will judge the quick and the dead. This is a reference to two groups of people. Now listen carefully. All people from the past, all people living in the present, and all people who will live in the future can be divided into one of these two groups. All people. From the past, present, future. These folks that are leaving, have them stay outside, okay? That's fine. They want to leave, that's fine, but they can stay outside. I want you to listen this morning. I want you to get the... Not because I'm important. This is important. Amen? The truth is important. All people from the past, at the present, and in the future can be divided into one of these two groups. Now, you see it here, the quick and the dead. I want you to hold your place in 2 Timothy 4 and go to Ephesians chapter 2. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, and I want to show you this here. Just back a few pages in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 2, and you're going to see these words again. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1. Paul is writing here to the church at Ephesus, okay? And he says in verse number 1, chapter 2, verse number 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Do you see that? You see the word quick or quickened and the word dead. All right? Quickened and the word dead. Look down at verse number 5. "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." You see the two words again. Quickened in verse number 5, and the word dead. That's the same two words that Paul talked about in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. Now, when the Bible says the word quick, what's it talking about? It's talking about those who are saved. Everybody who's a born-again child of God, you're described as quick. Doesn't mean you're fast. The word means alive. I'm glad it doesn't mean fast because I ain't fast. It means alive. So if you're saved this morning, you're quick. You are alive in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The word dead is not referring necessarily here. Now watch me. The word dead is not referring to people whose bodies are in a cemetery. The word dead is referring to people who are alive but have no relationship with Jesus Christ. They're dead. So this is all talking about spiritually speaking. Now listen again, don't turn to this. Acts chapter 10, verse number 42. Jesus to be the judge of quick and dead. 1 Peter 4 and verse 5. Jesus is ready to judge the quick and the dead. People, God did not run out of things to say in His Bible. When He repeats Himself, it's for sake of emphasis. And He's saying over and over again, you got two groups of people, the quick and the dead. Two groups of people, the quick and the dead. Two groups of people, the quick and the dead. Two groups of people, the quick and the dead. Those that are alive in a relationship with Christ, and those that are dead to Jesus Christ. So the Bible says, all the quick, that's the saved, will be judged by Jesus. And all the dead, that's the unsaved, will be judged by Jesus. Look, you say, Pastor, there are all kinds of religions out there. Yeah, but you could boil them down into two groups. Forget all the tags, forget the names. You can boil everybody down into two groups, the quick and the dead. Listen, friend. If you're planning on entering eternity because of some tag that you're wearing, you can throw that to the wind. I wouldn't be anything else but a Baptist in this life, but if you're counting on the fact that you're a member of a Baptist church to get you to heaven, you better get serious with God. And I wouldn't be a part of another. I believe the Bible makes you a Baptist. I believe that by conviction. But that doesn't mean all Baptists are going to heaven. It's not your tag. It's who lives in your heart. Now listen, the only thing that will matter when we stand before God is saved or unsaved. Quick or dead. Now, look, this is not the only. There are other places in the Bible that break it down into two groups. Are you listening? It's always two groups. Listen, just hear me. John 3:18. He that believeth on Him, and later on in the verse, he that believeth not. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son, later on in the same verse, he that believeth not the Son. 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son, later on in the verse, he that hath not the Son. Matthew 16:16, he that believeth, later on in the verse, he that believeth not. 1 John 5:10, he that believeth on the Son, later on in the same verse, he that believeth not. I didn't make that up. You can look up those references and read them for yourself. There's two groups. There's two groups. There's the saved, the quick, and there's the dead, the unsaved, the believers and the unbelievers, those that have the Son and those that have not the Son. Simplified down to two. That's it, folks. Two groups. Everybody in this building, everybody in Bourbonnais, everybody in Illinois, everybody in the United States, everybody in North America, everybody in the Northern Hemisphere, everybody in the world, past, present, and future. Everybody is in one of two groups. Everybody, how simple can it be? There's not three groups, there's not ten groups, there's two groups of people. The quick and the dead, the saved and the unsaved, the believers and the unbelievers. Simply, listen very carefully. Which group you are in is completely determined by your relationship with Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Pastor, Brother Terry, you talk like the whole world revolves around what a person thinks of Jesus Christ. No. It's not just what a person thinks of Christ, it's what a person does with Christ. Because I'm going to tell you something. You can think all you want to about Christ. The devils think about Christ. And they're not going to heaven. It's what you do with Jesus. It's what you do. Well, I believe that Jesus was a good man. And I believe He's a good person. He was certainly a great teacher. But that's not going to cut it. It's what you do with Jesus. It's coming to the point in your life where you believe what the Bible says about your sin. You're born a sinner. We come into this world born as a sinner without a relationship, dead in our relationship with Jesus Christ. I know people are well-meaning and sincere, but here's what they say. You probably heard people say this. You know, I've been a Christian all my life. I've been a believer all my life. That's not true. No, I'm sorry. You're born into this world in a dead relationship with Jesus Christ. And you come to the place where the Holy Spirit of God shows you you're a sinner and you deserve the price and the wages of sin. You say, what are the wages of sin? It's not up to me. It's what the Bible says. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Eternal separation from God forever. That's what the Bible says. And when you realize this, you mean, I'm a sinner and the payment I owe is to be separated from God forever. I don't want to go to hell. And you mean Jesus Christ loved me enough to come to this earth and die on a cross for me and pay my sin debt so I could go to heaven? Yes, yes, and yes. You're a sinner. You're on your way to hell. But yes, Jesus loved you enough to die for you. Went to a tomb and came out to prove that He was not an ordinary person. He's a Son of God with power. And He ascended back to heaven. And one of these days, He's coming back to this earth. One of these days, He's going to be judge. You know what's a smart thing to do right now? Is man alive. If you've not been made alive to Jesus, it's not a difficult matter. It's being honest with yourself and honest with God. Admitting you're a sinner and then coming to Christ and Him only. Not the church. Not a baptismal tank. Not your American citizenship. But coming to Christ. Christ alone, His death, His burial, His resurrection, embracing what Christ did for you as payment for your sin. And you're born again. It's not some mental acknowledgement, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus, God, heaven, hell, you know, sun, moon, stars, Russia, China, America, all of it. Yeah, I believe in it all. That's not salvation. Salvation is facing the fact about what's in your heart. You are a sinner. I am a sinner. But there was a day, October 15th, 1975, when I took that sin to Jesus and trusted Him as my personal Savior. If you've not done that, friend, that is the only way to get out of the dead group into the alive group. From the dead group into the quick group. From the unbeliever to the believer. From the unsaved to the saved. There are only two groups. Everybody in this room is in one of two groups. Everybody. Two groups. That's it. All of our future, as far as eternity goes, hinges on what we do with the sacrifice Jesus made for us at Calvary. Are you with me this morning? Okay. Who shall judge? Let's get back over there to 2 Timothy chapter 4. The Bible tells us that all will be judged. Okay. Then the Bible tells us that there are two groups. All will be divided into two groups. Here's the last truth, and we're going to be done just about right on time. Here's the last truth. Number three, there is a judgment for each group. Okay? There's a judgment for each group. Look at your words in the Bible. Who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom? Look at the words appearing and kingdom. Those are not the same. The quick and the dead are not the same. That's two groups. And the appearing and the kingdom are not the same. That's two different events. If you like to mark your Bible, you can circle the word quick and then circle the word appearing and join those two with a little line. Circle the word dead and the word kingdom and join those two with a little line. Now, Jesus is going to make an appearing. I want to talk about this first judgment first. The judgment of the quick. The judgment of the quick. Who are the quick? The quick are those who are saved. Who are the quick? The ones who are alive in a relationship with Christ. Who are the quick? They are the believers. Okay? They're going to be judged, watch it, at His appearing. Y'all with me so far? At His appearing. Jesus is going to make an appearing in the clouds. He's going to leave heaven. This is what camping was talking about. And you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Jesus is going to leave heaven. He's going to stop in the clouds. He will not be seen by everybody at His appearing. He will take those who are saved, the cemeteries all over the world that contain the bodies of those who have trusted in Christ. They're born again. They were born into God's family. Those graves will give up the bodies. People who are alive on the earth, who are saved, will be caught up with those who've come out of the grave. It's called the rapture. It's a snatching away. He comes very quietly and very quickly. It's an appearing. He's here and He's gone. And while He's here, He takes everybody who has trusted in Him for salvation home to heaven. Those are the ones who will go with Jesus back to heaven. Only the saved will be taken. You want to read about it? Go to 1 Corinthians 15. You want to read about it? Go to 1 Thessalonians 4. You read about it. Okay? Now listen. When that happens, all the saved are gone. And this is what people are making fun of now.
Yeah.
You can't overlook the truth. It's going to happen. Here's what happens. I believe the Bible teaches that as soon as we get to heaven, saved people will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. It's called the Bema. The judgment seat of Christ. We will be judged according... You say, well, this judgment will decide who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. No. That's already been decided. This is for people who are saved. Judgment seat of Christ is not about who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. The judgment seat of Christ is about... What did you do for Christ after you got saved? It's a judgment of works. Okay, October 15th, 1975, Terry Angel got saved. Got born into God's family. Not because I did anything, but just confess my total helplessness and throw myself on the mercy of Jesus Christ. Since that day, I've lived a life. I should have lived this life in service for Jesus Christ. I should have honored Him. I should have loved Him. I should have served Him. I should have adored Him and worshipped Him and loved Him. And you know what? I will stand at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ and be judged for my works. So will you. You know, folks, listen. If Christian people really believed that Jesus was coming May 21st, and they really believed in the judgment seat of Christ, I think you'd have seen some people making some changes. But you know what's sad? We give lip service to it. But even us, those of us in this room, we're slow to make changes. And we're going to, and we believe it. We believe it. We're going to be judged according to our works. Did we honor God? Did we love each other? Did we try to reach the lost? Did we witness? Did we serve? Did we grow in grace? Did we give our lives to the Lord? What did we do? Everybody at this judgment is saved. So everybody, that judgment is going to heaven. But listen, some will go having gained reward, and others will go to heaven having suffered loss of reward. Now let me ask you a question. Which group do you think you want to be in that day? I'm not talking about the quicker the dead groups. I'm talking about the saved group that receives reward or the saved group that suffers loss. Well, it doesn't matter to me. All that matters to me is that I'm going to heaven. You are a selfish Christian. And you have no love for Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something, pal. What we don't understand is what we've done for Jesus Christ, that judgment is going to be revealed by fire. Its motives, its intentions, its purity. And you know what? None of us will be able to take a completely pure work up there. That's why it's judged by fire. Because fire purifies. But we can take sincere and heartfelt service for God and Jesus and stand before Jesus with a life of heartfelt service and sincere service for God. And God will judge those works by fire. And you know, it burns out all the impurities. And what's left is gold, silver, and precious stones. And we take that and we lay that at the feet of Jesus as a way of saying thank you. You sure you don't want something to lay at His feet? You sure it doesn't matter to you now? You want to walk away empty-handed? Nothing to lay at His feet? Nothing to say thank you? Your salvation, a fire escape from hell? Folks, you don't want to do that. No. We want to stand there having something to lay at the precious feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. You say, Brother Angel, you're making me a little bit... it makes me uneasy too. Shouldn't it? It'll be a revealing time as each one of us will be judged according to what we did for Jesus. Only one life, it will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. So the quicker judge at His appearing, the saved. Now, your next two words are dead and kingdom. Now, I don't have much time. So listen carefully. After His appearing, there is a 7-year time period that the earth goes through called the tribulation. At the end of the tribulation period, Jesus comes again to the earth, riding a white horse, and He says with His own mouth that He comes to judge and make war. He comes to judge and make war. By the way, I don't have time. Be here tonight. He comes again to the earth. When He comes to the earth at the end of the 7-year tribulation period, every eye will see Him. He'll put down the armies that are gathered against Israel. I said He'll put down the armies that are gathered against Israel. And if the United States is a part of that, we're going down too. You put that in your back of your mind for tonight. will set up his kingdom, and he will sit on the throne of his father David in the city of Jerusalem, and he will reign on this earth for 1,000 years. It's all in your Bible. At the end of the 1,000 years, Satan is loosed from hell for a short season, gathers a group of people, of followers. They come against Jesus again. He puts them all down. That is the end of that time period. And then the Bible says that there is a great white throne judgment where all the other group will stand. Now, the one group's already gone, right? Saved. The other group, the dead, the unsaved, the unbelievers, will stand before the great white throne judgment at the throne of God. Now, hear me, friend. All the people at this judgment are lost. And at this judgment, there is no mercy, there is no grace, and there is no salvation. The Bible tells us there are some books. Books that will be opened, and then another book called the Book of Life. And the person who's standing before the throne of God, the keeper of the book, will look for that name. God, their name is not in the book. And that person will be cast into hell. Separated from God forever in a place the Bible calls hell or the lake of fire. They are lost. They are bound for an eternity, separated from God forever and ever. That is the only judgment for the dead, the unsaved. Now listen to me. All this hoopla this week will cause people, in some cases, to laugh and make fun of the idea of a judgment. But there's nothing to laugh and make fun of. Because it's going to happen. All this does is just give the enemy ammunition. Let God be true and every man a liar. All will be judged. All are divided into two groups. And there is a judgment for each group. Harold Camping was wrong. And by the way, he's wrong about some other things too. He's wrong to try to convince you that God chooses some to go to hell and chooses some to go to heaven. So why listen to that? Harold Camping was wrong. He was wrong about when. But there will be a day of judgment. And I just ask us this morning, ready. I'm preaching to two groups today. The quick and the dead. If you're saved, are you ready to meet Christ? Are you ready to stand before Him at the judgment seat and give an account for your life? And if you're not saved, man, this is it. This is the day. This is the time. This is the hour. This is the moment. The Holy Spirit of God working on your heart. You're not saved. Get it settled. Do it today. Jesus is still Savior. But one of these days He'll be judged. It'll be too late. And that's what the Bible says. So don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Let's be ready to meet the Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. Before we dismiss the service and give an invitation, let me just ask a few simple questions of you. Would you just listen carefully, even though your head is bowed and your eyes are closed? You know, and I know, come on, let's just be honest with each other. You know, preaching on judgment and judgment seat and great white throne judgment, it never makes anybody. It puts us all on pins and needles. It should. Brother Caleb talked in our Sunday school lesson upstairs about the attribute of God mentioned more than any other attribute in the Bible is His holiness. He's holy. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. We're going to stand before Him. Are you ready? who would say, Brother Angel, I'm ready to stand before Jesus at the judgment seat as far as being saved. I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm on my way to heaven. That matter is settled, sealed. I am a born-again child of God, and I'm thankful that God saved me. If you can give that testimony, would you raise your hand this morning? Just be honest. Be honest. Don't raise your hand if you can't raise it. Okay? Thank you. You may put your hands down. Is there one here this morning or more who would say, Brother Angel, I could not lift my hand just then. I did not lift my hand. I am not sure that I'm on my way to heaven, so I couldn't raise my hand. But I will raise it now and say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not sure that I've got it settled. I'm not sure that I'm part of the saved, the quick, the alive. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand this morning and raise it right up? I'll see it. Thank you. Thank you very much. Somebody else? I'm not saved. I don't know that I'm saved. Another, God bless you. Is there somebody else? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Two groups, folks. Two groups. Two groups. Quick, dead, saved, unsaved. Believers, unbelievers. Any more this morning? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anybody else? Would you raise your hand? I'll pray for you in just a moment. All right. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll please bless these that lifted a hand this morning. God, I don't know how many maybe should have lifted a hand and didn't. But I pray that you'll work on the heart. And I pray that you'll draw that person to Jesus Christ today. That's my prayer.